All right, Shabbos say good morning. Today's daf is Pei Aleph, 91. Yeah, 81, excuse me. We are starting from Pei Amud Beis, 80B. We left off Kasav HaSofer V'ta'a V'nasan Get Le'isha V'shover Rabbi Lazar Im La'alter. So again, remember, the case in the Mishnah, this was 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, the case that the Mishnah was dealing with was the Sofer accidentally gave the wrong documents to the wrong people. So he gave the get ultimately to the woman and gave the receipt to the husband. And then what happens? So in the Mishnah's case, then the Maisa, again, what ended up happening was sometime later on they both realized that they had the wrong document. In the interim, she had remarried. So the Mishnah says, Teitzei Mezeh Umezeh, she has to leave both husbands, and all of the penalties that we discussed in the earlier Mishnah ultimately applied to her. Rabbi Lazar came along and said, that's only true if they discover this la'alter immediately. But if they did not discover this immediately, then again, we assume that there was a paperwork mix-up sometime later on. Woman is considered to be divorced, and her marriage to the second husband is considered to be legal. So asks the Gemara, Heichi dami la'alter, you're telling me now that according to Rabbi Lazar, the only time this is problematic is if it's discovered immediately. What's the definition of immediately? Heichi dami la'alter. What's the definition of later on? Am Rabbi Dor Meshmuel calls man sheyoshen vasukim ba'ose inyan zeh la'alter undo zeh la'achrasman. So Rabbi Huda said, "Name Meshmuel, as long as they are sitting together and dealing with the get, that's considered la'alter. That's considered to be immediate, and therefore, if they discover it, then we assume that there was a mix-up from the beginning, and the get process has to be repeated. But if Lamaisa, again, they finished the get proceedings, everybody went their own way, that's considered to be la'achar zman, after a time, and therefore, again, when the husband produces the shover, the husband produces the get, and the woman produces the shover, ultimately, we assume that there was a paperwork mix-up sometime after the nesin es haget. But Avada bar Ava Amar lo nisei lo, excuse me, sorry, but Amar Avada bar Ava, lo nisei zeo la'alter. Avada bar Ava says that as long as she has not yet remarried, that's called la'alter. Nisei zeo la'acharzman. If she remarried, ultimately that's called la'acharzman. Tanan, so let's look at the Mishnah. Lo kol yimeno harishon, lo kol yimeno min harishon la'abi zechuso shalsheni. Yet the Mishnah said, the first husband does not have the power to undermine the second husband's rights in marriage. To which the Gemara says, "Bishlam l'Rav Adabar Ava Hainu Diktani Shein." So, according to Rav Adabar Ava, Rabbi Osei says that the definition of la'alter is that she did not remarry, and la'acharzman means that she remarried. Then the Mishnah makes sense. Al l'Shmuel my Sheini. But according to Shmuel, again, remember, Rabbi Osei, according to Shmuel, the definition of la'alter means they're currently engaged in the get deliberations, and la'acharzman means they got up from the table. If that's the case, why is there even a discussion about a second husband? Top of Pei Aleph, Zichus HaRe'uya L'Sheni. What it means ultimately is the right that would be accorded to the Sheni. In other words, the right of the second husband to effect marriage with this woman should not be undermined by the first. Good. Says the Mishnah. Kasav L'Garesh HaSishtov Nimlach. Well, it's an interesting case. A man wrote a get with the intention of divorcing his wife, and then he changed his mind. Beishamai Omrim Psula Minakuhuna. So this is actually quite dramatic. So remember, in this case, there was never an actual get that was delivered. So what happens over here? So Beishamai says that she is Psula Minakuhuna. She may not marry a kohen. Now what does that mean? They're still married. What it means is, in the event that the husband dies, under normal circumstances, a woman who's an almana is permitted to marry a kohen. In this case, because there was a get that was written, even though it was never delivered, Beis Shammai says, we'll get into this more in future dapim. Beis Shammai says there's something called reach haget, the scent of a get, and therefore the mere existence of the get precludes her from ever marrying a kohen in the future. Seeing that she becomes an almana later on, she has the status of a quasi grusha, and therefore cannot marry a kohen. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says, we'll say even more extreme. I mean, the extreme on the other end. Beis Hillel says, first of all, that's not true. If you just wrote a get, and Lamaisa, again, never delivered it to her, it does not disqualify her from the kuna. But we'll take it even a step further. Even according to Beis Hillel, let's say a husband gave his wife a get on a tanai with a condition. This is your get on the condition that she give me $1,000 within 30 days. And what happens? she never gives the $1,000. So what's the halacha? The halacha is the gets nachal. Beis Hillel says, even in that case, there's no reach haget, there's no scent of a get, and what? And she's not psula kuna. Now, listen, now that case is even more extreme. Why? Because in this case, she's literally received a get. She literally received this. So Beis Hillel says, the only thing that invalidates a woman for the kahuna ultimately is an actual divorce. Anything short of an actual divorce will not go ahead and preclude her from marrying into the kahuna. Second the Gemara, Shalach Rav Yosef Beid Rav Menashe Midvil L'Shmuel. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from Devil, sent the following idea to Shmuel. Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, Rabbi teach us. Yatsa Alav Kol Ish Ploni Kohen Kasa, Yatsa Alav Kol. If there was the following rumor that circulated, Ish Ploni Kohen Kasa Get Lishtar. Well, say, here's the rumor. The rumor is so-and-so who's a Kohen, wrote a get for his wife, V'yosheves Tachtava Mishamashto. But yet, she's still living in his house, and now she's like essentially serving as his domestic help. Right? Mishamashto, she's serving him in the house. So now they're divorced. Now, I will say, the halacha is that once a Kohen divorces his wife, remember, a regular Yisrael, if he divorces his wife and then has a change of heart, he's permitted to remarry his divorcee as long as she has not subsequently married someone else in the interim. However, a Kohen, once he divorces his wife, is not permitted to go ahead and remarry her. So here the rumor is going on that so-and-so Kohen wrote a get for his wife, and yet they're still living together in the same house, and she's essentially taking care of his needs. She's serving him in the house. So mahu, so what should we do in such a situation? Rashi says, mahu, mi mafkinon, it's the third wide line from the top, mi mafkinon le mine, mishum kala, shlo yomru girsha vechzira, so what do we do? Should we act on this call? Should we act on this rumor and therefore force her to move out of the house or not? Shalach le teitze v'hadavar tzarech pedika. So I'll say this is very interesting. So Shmuel sent the answer. She should leave the home. She should leave the home, Rashi, because of the call, because of the rumor. But the matter requires some level of investigation. So the Gemara says, "My he." So what does that mean? The matter requires some level of investigation. So maybe the first question is, do we listen to rumors? Do we listen to rumors or not? So we'll say, so this is fascinating. So v'ha narda, now remember again, this is taking place in Narda, Asre de Shmuel hi. Remember, Narda was Shmuel's city, and v'narda lo mavatli kula. And I will say, in Narda, they would not, this is fascinating, they would not be mavatl rumors. And we'll say, now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. V'narda lo mavatli kula. Lo hayu noagin dayone ha'ir l'shaskam. So the Dayanim of the city of Narda, if there were rumors circulating, they would not shut down rumors. Why not? So this is amazing. In Narda, the Dayanim did not want to be accused of covering things up. So what they were concerned about was that if there was a call, I'm sorry?
Themselves.
It's not about themselves, I'm sorry. No. Ari, you can't be cynical before 6:30. There's a no cynicism before 6:30 rule. Right? So again, the idea of Rav Yosef, what they're actually concerned about is they wanted to maintain Kavanah Torah. They didn't want people thinking that the Dayanim were covering things up, which Rav Yosef is a good thing. No one should cover anything up. They wanted to make sure that the Dayanim weren't covering anything up. So they felt that with a kol, sometimes what you have to do is allow things to run its course. So therefore, again, in Narda, what they would do is if there was a kol, we'll say, again, there's one or two things that happens with a kol. Either it turns out to be true, or it turns out not to be true. But one thing is clear, which is, if you give it the time to run its course, very quickly, one will see if it's true or not. So in Narda, we listen to a kol. It doesn't mean we believe it, but we listen to it and investigate it. Ella di ikar l'nesina ksiva. So rather, what Shmuel did not know about say is the following. Do people call giving writing? Now, what does this mean? This is quite fascinating. When a kol is going around, that Ploni Kohen, we'll call him Aaron HaKohen, wrote a get for his wife. So what does writing mean? Does writing mean writing, or do sometimes people call giving writing as well. That's the suffix. Because again, remember, if he just wrote a get, so as we're going to see, we pass in like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. So therefore, again, if a Kohen writes a get for his wife, that does not invalidate her from the kahuna. But Shmuel Shaila is, the calls going around that he wrote it, doesn't mean that he wrote it, or doesn't mean that he gave it. So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine. So let's assume that Shmuel, your doubt is whether or not giving, when someone says that they gave a get, does that mean that they gave it? Excuse me. When someone says that they wrote a get, does that mean that they wrote it? Does that mean that they gave it? That's fine. I understand that's suffix, but still, people also call the writing of a get, writing of a get. In other words, even if you say writing could mean giving, writing also for sure means what? Writing. So again, what exactly is the basis of being concerned about this call? To which the Gemara says, in the migle milsa, the karolin asina ksiva, dilva nasan ka'amri. So the Gemara says, therefore, teitzei. So the idea that Shmuel was saying over here is, you're right. We're not sure. The reason why we're not sure about this call is because we're not sure ultimately, again, what it means. So when you hear a rumor that ploni ish ploni kohen, kasav get li ishto, Shmuel says, hadavar tzarech bedika, we just have to see what happened over here. Did he write the get? In which case, if he just wrote the get, there's nothing to talk about, because again, we paskin like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai, that the writing or existence of a get does not invalidate a woman from the kahuna. Or does this case ksiva mean nesina? And if ksiva does in fact mean nesina and he delivered a get, then our obligation would be to remove her or him, someone, from the marital home. Says the Rav Hamar Ashi, kol kala debasu nisu, lo chai shinon le. But yet Rav Ashi said that in general, when it comes to rumors, we do not listen to rumors that emanate post-marriage, meaning after a couple is married, we don't listen to rumors. Look at Rashi, kol kala debasu nisu, we don't have to get into all this, but the Gemara says over here, but we have a general principle that we do not accept a call. We do not accept rumors that emanate after marriage is affected. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, you're right. What does it mean, teitze? My teitze nami, teitze misheni. What it means ultimately, again, is not that she has to leave the first husband, but rather, again, the issue over here is her having to leave the second husband. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. My teitze nami, teitze misheni. It makes kohen zeh. If the kohen died, meaning let's say husband number one died, v'nasa kohen acher, and then she married another kohen, teitzei shahari yatsa alav kol grusha zeh kamashanim. So both said, the issue over here is, what the Gemara is suggesting, is that when we say that she has to leave the husband, we're actually referring now to husband number two. So husband number one, the kohen died, she thought she wasn't almana, therefore again, she married kohen number two. Then this call, this rumor comes about. And when this rumor comes about, what happens? It turns out that potentially she was a grusha. If she was a grusha, then a marriage to husband number one was illegal. To which the Gemara says, well, husband number two was illegal. So the Gemara says, 1 second. If you make or leave husband number two, then imkain atamotzi laz abanav shal rishon. Then what that effectively does, it will say, is you're saying that she's a grusha. If she's a grusha, it's quite possible, again, that, remember, this is a case where she potentially was living with her husband even after the rumors of the get started circulating. If that's the case, then you're being motzilaz, you are casting genealogical aspersions upon her children, that perhaps they are the result of a union between a grusha and the kohen, to which the Gemara says, Em kenata motzilaz abanav shal rishon, kevan de mesheni hu mafkinala, Umirishon Lomaf Kinala. So the Gemara says, no, we're not worried about that. Why? Because since we're only removing her from the second husband and not from the first one, Asi Lamemar Samoch Lamisa Girsha. People will just come to the conclusion that the first husband must have given her the get immediately prior to his death. That's why, again, that get never impacted the first marriage, but now it's impacting the second one. Amra Barachana Amra Biochan Mishram Bihuda Bar Iloi Bourei. Shelo kideres harishonim doros achronim. So both say. So this is an interesting. Actually, it's an interesting opening. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda bar Iloi that see that earlier generations are not like these generations. Now both say. Now generally, when the Gemara says something like this, what it's usually doing is contrasting the piety contrasting the piety between earlier generations and later generations. Now we're going to do that in just a little bit. In this example, the Gemara doesn't really seem to be doing that. The Gemara is just actually contrasting halachic practices. So the Gemara says the following. What happened? Because, first of all, the Gemara defines who are we talking about. Doros HaRishonim BeShamai. Doros HaAchronim Rebbe Dosa. So when we say earlier generations, we mean like BeShamai. Latter generations means Rebbe Dosa. How so? This is an interesting halacha. Shavuya Ocheles Petruma Div Rebbe Dosa. Rebbe Dosa says that a Shavuya, a woman who is taken captive, ultimately is permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. Now, what they're referring to over here is the following. Let's say you have an Ishes Kohen, a wife of a Kohen, who is taken captive by someone. So the halacha is that, what Rabbi Dosa says, that she is permitted to continue to eat Truma. Which is another way of saying what? That Lamaisa, again, she has not been violated by her captors. Because if she's been violated by her captors, then Lamaisa, again, she has the status of a Zona, halachic Zona, and therefore, again, she'll be precluded from going ahead and eating Truma. So Rabbi Dosa essentially says that we do not assume that her violators, that her captors violated her. Because he says, V'chi ma'as Allah aravizeh, because what did this Arab do to her? That's how he's referring to the captor. Mivnei shemiyech la bein dadea pasla min akuhuna. Essentially what Rabbi Dosa says is, the captor will molest her, right? The captor may touch her inappropriately, but we assume that the captor will not actively violate her. So because of that, says Rabbi Dosa, therefore halacha again, she's permitted to still go ahead and eat Truma. On the other hand, Va'amra Babrachana, so we'll say, so that's Rabbi Dosa. Just each of the contrast of that is in Beishamai Paskin, that we assume that a woman who's taken captive is violated, and therefore again she is precluded from eating Truma. So again, we'll say, so if you want to make the contrast, you know, the way the Maharsha understands the contrast is that Lamaisa, again, that in the days of Beishamai, they were just much more meticulous with some of these halachos concerning, again, Zona, concerning, again, societal morality, versus in Rabbi Dosa's time, that Lamaisa, again, perhaps they were a little bit more lenient. It can also reflect other societal norms of both Rabbanim. But again, it's not like the general contrast that we see about comparing piety. However, look at the next example. The Gemara says, see that the latter generations are not like, or I should say, see that the piety of the earlier generations is not matched by the piety of latter generations. How so? Doras HaRishonim in earlier generations, machnisin perosehen derech traksimon, kedei lechayvan b'maiser. So also, it's actually quite interesting. In earlier generations, they would go out of their way to bring in their produce. Derech traksimon means through the front door. Rashi says, derech traksimon, derech hakivusha michutz, likanes lifnim. So people would bring their produce dafka in through the front door in order to go ahead and what we're going to see is the following. The halacha is that produce only becomes subject to tithing obligations when there's what's called ri'as pnei habayis, when ultimately, again, it comes into the home. If it has not yet come into the home, then a person is permitted to eat what's called achilas arai. A person could have a snack. A person could snack from the produce without it being tithed. Can't have achilas keva. You can't eat a regular meal, but you can eat achilas arai. So the question is the following. In earlier generations, they used to dafka bring in their produce through the front door in order to go ahead and make it chayiv in trumas and maestros. They wanted to give trumas and maestros. On the other hand, Doros HaChronim in latter generations, Machnisin Perosem Derech Gagos, V'Derech Karfifos, K'dele Pocha Ben HaMaiser. But also, amazingly enough, what happened? Well, in latter generations, they would dafka bring in their produce, you know, through the roof, or through the terraces, in order to avoid generating the Maestro obligation. So we'll say, it's an incredible Yisod, by the way, which is, if you notice, what the Gemara is not saying is, it's not that they didn't observe the laws of Trumas and Maestros. They'll say, what's the chilik, what generates piety? What the definition of piety is that a person goes out of their way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, right? The antithesis of piety is not sin. The antithesis of piety is someone who just simply tries to find the legal loopholes to be able to avoid having to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what Gemara is contrasting. In earlier generations, they went out of their way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In latter generations, they looked for the legal loopholes not to have to do so. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Don Rabbi Yannai, ina tevel mischai b'maiser at shir pnei abayis." Because the Rabbi Yannai said that tevel's untithed produce is not subject to tithing obligations until it ultimately sees the entranceway of the home. Bayis over here, by the way, does that mean something? Bayis means my own home. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, "Biarti hakodesh min habayis." This is actually very interesting. Now, "Biarti hakodesh min habayis" is actually vidui meiser. This is after 3 years, after the third year of the meiser cycle, person has to make a declaration that they've given away all of their tithes. So the fact that the person says, "Biarti hakodesh min habayis," indicates to us that the only way that the item becomes kodesh is how? Is if it comes into the bayis. So only if it enters into the home in the normative fashion is the obligation for trumos and maestros triggered. Otherwise, if you just get it into the home some type of back way, then halach l'maisa, again, it's not obligated in trumos and maestros. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu chatzar kovas. Rabbi Yochanan takes this even a step further and says that even once you bring your produce into your chatzar, into your courtyard, it becomes obligated in trumos and maestros. Shine emar v'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. Because the pasuk says that you shall eat in your courtyards, or within your gates, excuse me, and you will be sated. So the idea over here is even sha'arecha, even your gates, even your chatzar ultimately generates the obligation. So we'll say an incredible musar, that the real definition of piety is not necessarily defined by the volume of mitzvah observance, but it's in the desire to want to serve. Versus the antithesis of piety is where a person is living within the confines of law. I'm not doing anything illegal, but I'm simply exploiting those loopholes that exist in order to avoid any additional obligations. Incredible Musar. Says the Mishnah, Hamagarish is ishto v'lana ima b'pundiki. Let's say if a man divorces his wife, but then he was, lana imo literally means she stayed with him. Now we'll see what this phrase means. She stayed with him, she slept over with him in an inn. Beshamai omrim, einat tzrichim en egecheni. So Beshamai says the fact that they were alone, now obviously this is a case where what? This is a case where we'll see. So Beshamai says you don't require a second get. Ubeisilo omrim, Beisilo says, tzricha him en egecheni, you require another get. So the Gemara says, Emasai, when is this true that you need another get? This is only true if what? If Lamaisa the divorce, they were fully married, they had nisuin, and then they got divorced. In that case, that's where Beis Hillel says that if they were alone together in the inn, they require a second get. However, Umodim, Beis Hillel, agrees to Beis Shammai that they don't require a second get if Beniskarsha mina erusin. So what's happening over here? This is quite fascinating. So here's the case. Man divorces his wife. Then they're alone together overnight in an inn. So Beis Shammai says, he doesn't have to give her another get. Beis Hillel says, he has to give her another get. But even Beis Hillel, who says that he has to give her another get, that's only if they were divorced from Nisuin. But if they were divorced from Irisin, he need not give her another get. Says the Gemara. What's the case over here? Machlokes b'shira'ua shenivala. The case of Yerabosai is what? Is where they saw the couple engage in relations. We saw that they were intimate with each other. I will say, before you go ahead and turn the page, look at the last Rashi. Rashi says, "Beshur shenivala beshamai savri adam oseh beilasa bilasnus v'chol kama delo amar harini ba'al Hashem kiddushin l'amrin l'Hashem kiddushin ba'al." So what we're going to see, now turn the page. So what happens? Beshamai savar adam oseh beilasa bilasnus. Beshamai says that a man absolutely has relations even if it's not for the sake of affecting Kiddushin. So therefore, again, Beis Shammai says like this, when we see them in the inn together, and even if we see them being intimate with one another, we do not assume that that was for the sake of affecting Kiddushin. Rather, we assume it was for the sake, ultimately, of Bia. Right? It was for the sake of his desires, but there was no marital intent associated with that. However, Beis Shammai, on the other hand, hold, Ein Adam Oseh Bi'ilasa Bi'ilasnos. So Beis Shammai, on the other hand, holds, no. People don't engage in immorality. And therefore, we assume, especially again with this woman who was his wife. So that's the chiluk over here as well. See, remember, don't necessarily extrapolate from this to a regular case of where you see a man being intimate with a woman. In this case over here, they were married. So because also there was an established marital bond, granted it's been dissolved, Papa Silo now holds that lemaisa again, a person does not engage in bias. Therefore, if we see them being intimate with one another, we assume that that bia was for the sake of kiddushin. Aval, lo ra'u asher nivala, devrakol in atzvicha mena get sheni. But halacha lemaisa again, if we did not see them be intimate with one another, in other words, if all we saw was what? That they spent the night together in the same hotel, so that does not tell us, says the Gemara right now, that anything happened. It's only if we saw that they were intimate with one another, that's the machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, bias nus, Beis Hillel says, bias kiddushin. So the Gemara says, avalo ra'u asher nivala, but if we did not see them be intimate with one another, even if we saw them, we know that they stayed at the same hotel overnight. Lemaisa, everyone will agree that the husband does not have to give her a second get. Tnan. Umodin bin Iskar Shamina Erisin. Look what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that Beis Hillel agrees that a second get is not necessary when he divorced her from Erisin. She'ein etzvicha mena get sheni. She'ein liba gaspa. Now the assumption over here that what the Gemara was saying was the following. That if he divorced her from Erisin, even if they spent the night together in the hotel, there's no concern that there was bia. Why? Because it was like the only time we assume that there was bia was when they were divorced from Nisuin. So they lived together. They were intimate with one another. So because of that, if they were alone together, the probability is that they were intimate with each other. However, if you divorced her from Erisin, they never lived together as husband and wife. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, there's room to say that bia did not occur. But says, but this doesn't make sense. If now we're setting up the case of the Mishnah where what? Where we saw that they were intimate with each other, mali min ha'erisin, mali min ha'nisuin. Then what does it matter if they got divorced from erisin, they got divorced from nisuin? Why shouldn't it matter? Why shouldn't it matter? Because the case is where we see them engaging in bia. We see the bia occurring. If we see the bia occurring, then one thing is for sure, which is what? The bia is occurring. So therefore, the ma'isa, that's where you have the machlokis v'sham v'silo, v'rabi yochanan d'amar ki ha'itana. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, will hold like the following time. And this sanya, because you must remember again, this just to be clear, we're trying to now interpret the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan is understanding that the case of the Mishnah is where we actually saw the bia occurring. And therefore, Beis Shammai holds you don't need a second get. Why? Because we assume that it's bias as nus. Beis Hillel assumes in adam oseh bi'ilas bi'ilas nus. And therefore, when we see the bia, we assume that lemaisa what? We assume that lemaisa again, that was for the sake of affecting kiddushin. So if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah make the distinction between erusin and nisuin? If the case where we actually see bia occurring, it should make no difference if they were divorced from erusin or nisuin. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds like the following Tana. Disanya, Amar Reb Shem ben Elazar, lo nechleku beis Shammai beis Hillel, al shelo ra'u shenivala, shein etzvicha mena get sheni. That Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai do not disagree. Or actually, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. If we did not see them engage in relations, everyone will agree that there is not a need for a second get. Amma nechleku. So what do they argue about? Al shira'u ha-shenibala. They disagree on the case where we saw relations occur. Shebeis Shammai omrim adam oseh bi'ilas bi'ilas nos. Beis Shammai says, people absolutely engage in immoral acts. And therefore, this is not a marital bia, but rather, again, it's simply as nus bia. Ubeisilo omrim ein adam oseh bi'ilas bi'ilas nus. And Beisilo, on the other hand, hold that no, people don't engage in znus. And therefore, the ma'ase again, we assume that kiddushin, that bia was for the sake of affecting kiddushin. Umas nisin du kimna below ra'uha shenivala. Oh, and the Mishnah is talking about a case where Atabosai, we did not see her engage in bia. Right? We did not see the bia. Aye, so if that's the case, b'may pligi. So I will say, again, so now we're seem to be contradicting ourselves. If lemaisa again, at the end of the day, we did not see them engage in bia, so then what is the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? To which the Gemara says, de'ika eide yichud veleka eide bia. Oh, what's the case? The case is where what I will say, there are eide yichud, meaning there are witnesses that saw them, that they're alone with each other, but there are no eide bia. Beis Shammai savri, lo aminan hein hein eide yichud vehein hein eide bia. Beis Hillel savri, aminan hein hein eide yichud hein hein eide bia. So now the Gemara is suggesting over here that what? That lemaisa, again, the Mishnah is talking about the following case, where there are witnesses. But witnesses that saw them, that they were secluded with each other, but did not witness the bia. So what happens? Beis Shammai holds that witnesses for Yichud are not the equivalent of having witnesses for Bia. And Beis Hillel holds that witnesses for Yichud are the equivalent of witnesses for Bia. To which the Gemara says, Umodim, but everyone agrees, Beneskarsha, Mina Erosin, She'ina Tzicha Emene Getsheni, Techevan De'ein Libo Gaspa, Lo Arminan Hein Hein Ede Bia, Hello Arminan Hein Hein Ede Bia. But even Beis Hillel will agree with what Rabbi said, even though Beis Hillel normally holds, that if you have witnesses that they were alone with each other, that's the equivalent of having testimony that bia occurred. That's only true when they were divorced from nisuin, because then they lived together as husband and wife. But if they were divorced from erusin, even Beis Hillel will agree that what? That we do not automatically assume that the ede yichud are also ede bia. So Mar says, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Haki. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? But Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha follows a Stam Mishnah. Va'okimna lemas nisin bishalora uhashenivala. And yet again, we just established that the Mishnah is talking about a case where they did not see or engage in Bia. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Amorai ninhu va'alibu di Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, what comes out over here, halacha lemaisa, is that there is a machlokis Amorayim about the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. That what does Rabbi Yochanan actually hold in his version of this machlokes of Timei Shammai Beis Hillel? Rabbi says, suffice it to say, for our purposes, the discussion, the Rambam, interesting enough, the Rambam actually paskins in this kind of case, we actually paskin in general, like Beis Hillel, that Eid Adam Oseb Be'ilasa Be'ilas Znus. That ultimately, again, this is just an interesting concept in general, that we assume that when a person engages in relations, that the relations are not for the sake of Znus, but rather the relations are for the sake of Kiddushin. But that does not apply in any case of Bia. That applies only in situations where there's what's called, for lack of a better term, like raglayim ledavar, like circumstantial reasons to believe that. Like, for example, in this case, where a man was married to a woman, then divorced her, and then is alone with her again. So therefore, that idea that Bia may have occurred, there's strong reason to believe, according to Beis Hillel, and the Sederam seems to pick up on, that again, if there was Bia, then we could assume that was Bia for the sake of affecting marriage, and not just Bia Stam for Znus. Okay, says the Mishnah. Kansa beget kereach. Well, it's another interesting case. Let's say, Kansa beget kereach, teitzei mizel mizel. So we'll say, a woman got divorced, and she got remarried with a get kereach. Get kereach is a bald get. So what does it mean, a bald get? So look at Rashi for just a moment over. Get kereach, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Get kereach, Mefarish v'sefer demasisim. The end of the Mishnah is going to explain this. I'll just read you this Rashi. Shek sharav merubav me'edav. It's a case where there are more folds than witnesses. What does this mean? Baba Basra, Aminon, the Tokun Rabbanon get Mokusher, Mishim Kohanim Kaptonim Shay Kosvin get Pit Omnishoseim, O Mischarotim Laacharzman, the Inyuchon Laachziron. The Tiknu Lahem get Mokusher, Sheino Noachli Kose Mehira, Shem Sokach is Payis, the Kosman Alav Idimibachuts, the Kosif Sheets was something. So let me tell you this outside now. Kohanim were known for their short tempers. So what happened? A Kohen would go ahead and get angry at his wife and decide that he was going to divorce her. So fine, so he writes, so you get done. The problem is what happens? You know, next morning when he calms down a little bit and he realizes what he's done, he can't reverse his actions because Lamaise, see again, a regular person, a regular Jewish man, a Yisrael, divorces his wife and then regrets it. He has the option to remarry her, assuming that she wants to. But a Kohen, once he divorces his wife, it's done. So Chazal, the rabbis instituted a special Kohanic get. It's called the Get Mekusher. Essentially what you do is you go ahead and you write a few lines, you fold the text, and you have an aid sign on the outside of the fold. So meaning not on the side of the text, but on the back of the paper. And essentially what you do is you keep making the get, you keep folding the get, it looks like an accordion. And there has to be a signature on every single fold. So what does that do? What that does is it protracts the get process. By protracting the get process, what we hope is that the Kohen will calm down, come to his senses, and not divorce his wife. The case of a get kerech, of a bald get, is a get that doesn't have signatures on all of the folds. What the Mishnah is saying, Abbas, and I remember again, you have way more than two signatures on a get kerech, on a get mekusher. That's what it's called, by the way. This accordion get is called a get mekusher. Kusher literally means tied. The reason for that is what they would do is, after it was folded, they would tie the ends and tie it shut. It's called the get mekusher. So the idea over here is that now it's the Mishnah. Kinsa beget mekush, get beget kereach. So therefore, both say if she gets remarried, so now let's say Cohen divorces his wife, she uses this tied accordion get, and it turns out that there were not signatures on some of the folds. So what's that? She has to leave her second husband. And all of the penalties that we described in the earlier Mishnah apply to her. That halacha lemaisa again, a get mekusher that's missing one of the signatures is considered to be an invalid get. Get kereach hakom ashlim alav divrei ben nanas. Well, it's another interesting idea. So let's say again you have a get kereach. Get kereach means I'm missing a signature on one of the folds. Ben nanas paskins, anyone could sign on that additional fold. Anyone. In other words, that the person does not have to be kasher le'edus. Rather, any person could sign on it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, in mashlimin alav ala krovim haru'in lahal makam acher. Rabbi Akiva says, no, not anyone, but you know who you can use? You can use relatives. As long as those relatives would be fit to give testimony in other circumstances. In other words, we'll say, a karov, someone who's related to me, is possible to serve as an aid for anything related to me. They, in their own, are a kosher aid. Just because of their relation to me, they can't go ahead and affect any level of testimony in my circumstances. So Rabbi Akiva says, yes, there is a leniency for who you need to go ahead and fill in the blanks, the blank folds. You could use a kav, you could use a relative, but you can't use anyone else who's possible aid. So Benana says, you can literally use anyone to sign on the fold. Rabbi Akiva says you could use a relative, but that's only because the relative is kasher le'edus, just not here. That's the leniency. But you can't use people who are pasul le'edus. So the Gemara says, ve'ezu kereach, what's the definition of a get kereach? Kol shekisharav meruba me'edav. Any get whose folds are more than the signatures of the witnesses. In other words, that a get kereach is a get mekusher with an empty fold. So says the Gemara, my time in the get mekusher, what's the reason ultimately again? What's the reason ultimately that if there's not a signature on one of the folds that the get is possible? To which the Gemara says, "Gzer mishum kulchem," out of a concern that maybe the husband said, "Kulchem ksuva get lishti." Maybe the husband said to a group of people, "All of you, write the get, sign the get," and therefore, again, if one of the blanks is empty, there's a concern ultimately that the get will be possible. Get kereach hakom ashlim min alav. So let's remember again. So who's able to fill in the blanks of a get kereach? So remember again, Benana said anyone, Rabbi Akiva said a karov, but Rabbi Akiva eved my time alone. So we'll say, so remember, according to Benana, so you could even have an eved, even a slave, go ahead and fill in the blank on the get mekusher. So according to Benana, that works. According to Rabbi Akiva, it does not. Why doesn't it work according to Rabbi Akiva? The asulamim are kasher le'edus, because people will come to say that an eved is kasher le'edus. I karov nami asulamim are kasher le'edus. But one second, you can make that same argument by a karov, by a relative as well. Maybe the relative, if you have the relative sign on the get mekusher, people will say the relative is kasher le'edus as well. The concern is that if an eved signs on a getter, we'll say, what will happen? People will say, oh, if he's signing on shtaras, then what? That he must, his yichos must be kasher, right? He must be a kasher. If he's a kasher aid, then he must have good yichos. Gazlan the bar yuchsin huli is kasher. So if that's the case, again, I will say, so we should allow a thief to go ahead and sign. Because after all, again, even though a thief is a thief, pasul la'idus, he still has good yichus, right? And if it's a yuchsin issue, you should let him sign. Alamatana, why do we learn it? Bikiva omer in mashlimar alav, ela krovim haruyin lahayid b'mokamacher. Karovin, gazlan lo. But Rabbi Akiva said the only people who could sign on the empty slots, on the get makusher, who will say, someone like a karov, like a relative, only a relative, but not a gazlan, not a thief. Rather, what's the concern? If an Eved Kenani goes out and signs on the fold of the Get Mekusha, what are we concerned about? People will think that he was emancipated. Gazla Nami Asulamimer As Shuva Avad. Listen to this, we'll say. So so what are we concerned about here? By a Gazlan, we should also be concerned that Lemaisa, again, maybe he did Shuva. In other words, if you see him signing on a Get, what's the concern? The concern is maybe you'll say he did tshuva, to which the Gemara said, Eved Karov Ma'ikal, tshuva Avad, Karov Ma'ikal Meimar. So what's the issue again when it comes to a Karov? So the Gemara says, Kuli Alma Yadi de Karovu. So we'll say essentially what it comes down to is the following. Rabbi Akiva's concern, when people see that Lamaisa, you go ahead and what? You have someone signing on the shtar, Signage on a shtar means something to people. It means something to people. Therefore, lemaisa, again, if there's an eved signing on a shtar, we assume that either he has good yichus or he's been emancipated. If you have a gazlan signing on a shtar, then what? We assume that means he did tshuva. A karov, see, interesting, if we assume people know who is related to who. So therefore, when people see that a karov is signing on one of the extra folds of a get mekusher, we assume that people understand that's because these are just additional blanks that need to be filled in. And we don't read anything additional into that narrative. Therefore, again, Rabbi Akiva holds that Lamaisa, I'm okay with a Karov signing, but not okay with anyone else signing. So let's just go a little bit weiter. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar Shelter Al Hamnuna Saba, Amar Rabbi Adabar Abba, Get Kereach, Ksharav Shiva, the Eid of Shisha. We'll say if you have the following situation, let's say you have a Get Kereach. Yeah, the get old. Now remember, get kereach means one of the folds is not signed, it's not filled in. So let's say you have seven folds, but only six witnesses. Or six witnesses, or six folds, and five witnesses. Chamisha edav arba, or five witnesses, but only four folds. Or arba edav shlosha, or four folds, and only three witnesses. Ad kar machlokes benanas Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say, three folds is the machlokis between Rabbi Benanas and Rabbi Akiva. Aval ksharav shlosha ve'id of shtayim. But Jabosai, if you have three folds and only two witnesses signed, meaning you have one blank, divrei hakol ein mashlimin alav ela karov. So Jabosai, this is actually very interesting. What the Gemara is suggesting is the following. The minimum definition of a get mekusher is what? Apparently, the Gemara is saying, three folds. So everyone agrees. So what the Gemara is suggesting is, when you get into the more than three folds and you have empty folds that you need to fill in, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Benanas. Benanas says you could use anyone. Rabbi Akiva says you could only use a karov. However, for the most basic criteria of a get mekusher, which means what? Which means three folds, everyone will agree that for that third empty fold, so you have two regular witnesses, for that third empty fold, everyone will agree that what? You have to use a karov. For that third fold, which represents the most basic unit of a get mekusher, everyone will agree that lemaisa, again, you can only use a karov and you can't use anyone else. Once I stop over here for today, I'll pick up with Amar Lei Rabbi Zira the Rabbi tomorrow. But again, so just understand, we're leaving off the middle of the machlokis in the get mekusher. Fundamental get, or I should say, novel get that's being written for Kohanim, in purposely to protract the process, give a cooling down period, told an incredible number of additional edim that have to sign on it. Machlokis Rabbi Kiva Benanas, who could sign those additional folds? Benanas says anyone. Rabbi Akiva says only a karov. There is a leniency, but only a karov. Now the Gemara is suggesting machlokis Rabbi Akiva and Benanas is only on folds four and above. But for fold number three, after you have two regular witnesses, for fold number three, everyone will agree that it has to be a karov. To be continued tomorrow.